Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to actress Paige Howard, one of the stars of the new film Cheesecake Casserole. You can see it yourself in the comfort of your own home via video on demand, Amazon.com, or iTunes on July 3rd. Stick around. There'll be nothing cheesy about this show. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of lemon meringue pie fans who will always accept the slate of Nate and Al's finest cherry cheesecake in a pinch in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Yes, yes, Paige Howard is one of those Howards. Sister of Bryce, who played Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man 3, niece of Clint, granddaughter of Rance, and, yep, daughter of Ron and Cheryl. That had to be said, I'm told, because Paige hasn't accrued enough screen credits yet where you will drop what you're doing when you hear the name Paige Howard. But, if you have time, take a look at her performance in a new film called Cheesecake Casserole. She plays Jess, one of four friends about to graduate college who get together for one more last girly blowout. It's a weekend of food, booze, boys, and boy talk. Each of the women has a tangled narrative, and for Paige Howard's Jess, there's something emotionally fraught bubbling beneath the surface of this beautiful redhead. Now, Cheesecake Casserole might as well be called Four Chicks and a DB. Now, that's douchebag.
Yeah.
Because one of the girls has been followed to the getaway by her boyfriend Rudy, played by Rocco Nugent. Now, does that name sound familiar? Well, it should. Rocco has a pretty famous parent himself, rock star and professional Tea Party loudmouth Ted Nugent. No disrespect. Cheesecake Casserole premieres July 3rd nationwide on video on demand. You can also download it on MrMedia.com by way of Amazon.com or via iTunes. And all that said, Paige Howard, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you.
So good to have you here. We've actually had plenty of time today to get to know each other back and forth.
Yeah. Yes, we have.
So it's great to have you. Now, this movie, I got to ask you. My perception is this is a pretty big opportunity for you.
Well, yeah, it absolutely it is, and it was when we filmed it a couple years ago, but I had when I found out that I got the part, I had been auditioning for it for a while, and it had been something that I was like, oh, this would be such a fun thing to do, and something that I feel like I could bring a lot to it, and also people to learn from, and you know, it's a wonderful cast, and when I finally got there, and we got to filming, and I could not have possibly imagined that it would be like all that I had hoped for, but on steroids. It was an incredible, incredible experience, and I hope it. You know, I hope everyone goes and sees it, because there was so much heart that went into this film from every corner of every set that we worked on, every hour of every day that we were working. It was amazing.
Well, now for those of us who do not work in your business, we lose track sometimes of the fact that movies. They're not made yesterday. It's not like, oh, hey, you got together with some friends yesterday or last week, made a movie, and you're releasing it this week. It was, as you said, a couple years ago. So put it in perspective for me. What had you already been in by this time? I'm thinking it was still pretty new.
Yeah, very new, very new. Cheesecake Casserole I did Adventureland, and then I did Virgin Alexander, and then right after Virgin Alexander was Cheesecake Casserole. Mm. I kind of got my feet wet a bit in Adventureland, But Virgin Alexander and Cheesecake, they were, I was nervous going in. Virgin Alexander. I was really nervous going in. I'm sure a lot of that was adrenaline, but I was also incredibly excited. But I at this point in time, I hadn't, other than Adventureland, I hadn't seen myself ever on film. I was curious about sort of are the choices that I'm making, or is this coming across? Is this I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. And I got really lucky with all of those films, actually, because everyone was so nurturing and really, really understanding of the fact that I'd like ask a million questions. it was amazing. So it was the third film I did, and after that I got a lot more comfortable, throughout that process. I feel like I've done something right. I must have, because I got very, very lucky with all of those films.
Obviously made a good impression on somebody. And I got to point out something you and I know, that we started to do the interview earlier today, and then we had to put it off a while. And the strangest thing happened. We were only going to talk about Cheesecake Casserole today. And in the mail, literally between the time we started our first conversation and this interview, I actually received a copy of Virgin Alexander. So we will come back and talk about that. I haven't gotten to see it. I did see Cheesecake, but we will talk about that before our time is over, for people who may be wondering what we're referring to. Cheesecake, you've got these four, not to kiss up to the guests, but four beautiful women in this movie. It's definitely a chick flick kind of thing. It looks like there's a lot of comedy in the film, and there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of emotion. It looks like, though, it was probably a lot of fun to be on that set.
Oh, my gosh. It was such a fun set. I mean, we laughed the entire time. I mean, there was crying, of course, but, like, we laughed the entire time. The four of us immediately got along so well, which is such a relief, because
it could go either way, right?
I know, girls, I don't know. And they just, they're all like so wonderful, and it was such a relaxed set, but extremely efficient, which is, I think it just really allowed for us all to enjoy the experience. And also really feel like we were safe and able to jump into our roles and see what sort of came up. So it was amazing.
I got to ask.
So much fun.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to ask you a question. There is a scene, and it's early in the movie, so I'm not giving away anything, I don't think. But there is a scene early on that involves a giant cockroach. I wondered, was that in the script, or was that somebody introducing that off script?
No. That was in the script. The way it was filmed was, I think the first time we did it, we just sort of filmed it. I didn't know that they were going to pull that whole thing, and I thought I was just having a sleeping scene. and then they had like planted the cockroach into the script, and I just didn't. And then I like freaked out, of course, because it's like a huge cockroach.
Yeah,
it's,
it was big.
It's massive.
Yeah,
it's not like something that you're like, oh, whoa, I'm at the family barn, and there's a cockroach. It's like a
co-star.
Yeah, it is. Literally, that cockroach stole that scene like 150%. But no, we had a blast with that, actually. And then when I was like, okay, get it. We just kind of, we like, yeah, we, 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 uh, we were all like hopping around like our pajamas anyways for the scene, so we just, it was fun.
So was anyone particularly close to their character in the film, and was anyone completely the antithesis of their character from your time with them?
I would say that I think all of us have bits and pieces that we, you know, 100% relate to about these girls just going into it. There are definitely differences, but she's not like running off with like all the, she's you know, she's like the most like committed person, and Margot doesn't so much have that going for her. So it was that she had a little bit of something to kind of play with there, but I think it was more than anything just kind of us all having to like look at, you know, different phases maybe we've all experienced to some degree in our own lives. Mm-hmm. and kind of like take a second look at that and figure out sort of where do these characters like exist in us. Mm-hmm. and then you know, how to like kind of dig that up and get out and play. But because I think we can all, they're very relatable, very relatable. So
I mentioned Rocco Nugent before in the introduction, and I didn't realize until after I'd seen the film, I didn't make the connection, the Nugent connection, the Ted Nugent connection. He is, I mean, when he's on screen, you really want to hate him. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, but you were telling me earlier that he was a very nice guy.
He's the sweetest guy. He's so, I mean, he is playful and energetic, but he's just the sweetest guy. He is like, he has like such a sweet heart. He does. He's funny, and he's, you know, he's got a lot to say, but he's like a bear. He's like a warm, like cuddly bear. He's just sweet.
He sounds a lot like his dad was as a young man. He was just full of energy, just bursting. I mean,
bursting, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing about Ted. I was a pretty young guy when Ted first hit the scene, Cat Scratch Fever and all that stuff, and you know, he just was bursting with energy, and he was funny, and he was just exuberant, and he, you know, he's probably the same way now, just 30 years older. But I could see after the fact, after seeing the film, that is definitely Ted's son.
Yeah, you can. I when we were on set one time, it was like I think towards like later, well, we were almost done filming, but there was some like little clip that popped up. And it was of his dad. Hmm. And I remember I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, I have one here. And then I'm looking at, and they're very, very similar. Like their mannerisms and things, that it's very similar.
You put long hair on Rocco, he'd probably look a lot like his dad.
Yeah. Oh, he'd do that too. I mean, he, you know, we like our rap gift was, I don't know if I'm not supposed to say this, but, our rap gift was like, you know, the last shot of the film, or the, you know, filming process. Mm-hmm. We're all like, all of us girls are like at this table, and we're like trying to like, you know, be as serious and committed to like what we're doing, and, you know, really like kick this one out of the park, and, you know, do everything right. And then in the middle of the shot, Rocco just like stark naked comes sprinting behind the table, like around the kitchen, around the back, and then it's like, and me and Tori and oh gosh, that was my, I'm sorry, and Roma Britt, we were just like, what? What is going on? What's going on here? And then and we're kind of like, yeah, Rocco, like we're like freaked out. But it was like really, It was the perfect way to kind of, you know, send everyone off. Cast, crew alike, all of us. Rocco, you know, definitely made it memorable.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I didn't know about that. That's interesting. Well, he's obviously very comfortable with himself.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's just, you know, he's a good guy.
And, I'm going to apologize ahead because I'm going to ask you this, and I've been going back and forth in my mind whether I want to actually ask you this, but I'm going to do it because I don't know. You and Rocco both, you know, parents, your dads, pretty famous guys. Is that intimidating to go into the business that you have? Now, he's gone into a slightly different business, but mm-hmm. you're right there.
Is it intimidating? I mean, yeah, slightly, absolutely. I think earlier on it was, you know, I have a lot of respect for my dad and for my sister and for my grandparents, my uncle, and they're all really, really hard workers, and they work hard to, you know, deliver, you know, the best they can, and, you know, while really loving what they do. And just growing up on sets and sort of around all these people that kind of, you know, the people that like make films happen. Mm-hmm. And these are like, you know, there's stereotypical sort of ideas of Hollywood and all these things, but these are like, you know, really just to the core, hardworking people who bring their all every single day for months and months and months, and then have like a little break, and then again, like months and months and months. I think the intimidating factor to me is I want to, you know, I want to make sure that I every time feel like I'm bringing that. And almost like it's a show of appreciation for the fact that I know that they are. So I'm a bit top of myself when it comes to that, or not, but in a good way, in a good way. I'm not like, you know, like, that when I first got into it, I was nervous because, everyone has a lot of respect for my family. I'm grateful for it because I think they should. But
no doubt,
you know,
I'm just doing the math in my head while you're talking about that. And I'm thinking that unlike those of us over a certain age, you probably know your dad best as a guy behind the scenes, and probably your Uncle Clint better, as being on screen, because, you know, you're 27. I mean, that your dad, most of the time since you've been growing up, I'm thinking he's been behind the camera, not in front of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that, you know, the only thing I can say, we sort of grew up on the Andy Griffith Show, because it has like a lot of good family morals, and
as did we all.
Yeah,
I mean,
and,
you know,
I mean, I love it. I have the entire, you know, collection right over there. Just kind of pull it out, and you know, other than that, though, I just I can't really imagine. My experience with that is pretty much solely seeing him direct. It'd be funny to see Max.
Well, just for the record, I will tell you that I'm old enough to have, I'm probably close to your dad's age. Think about it, maybe within a couple of years. I'm old enough to have actually seen the Andy Griffith Show when it was airing at night week to week. So yeah, when you talk about growing up with the show, definitely. And so was there, you know, and we won't linger on this too long, but I'm curious, was there, were you and your sister, for example, encouraged to act or discouraged, or just did he, was, you know, were your parents just kind of neutral about it and let you?
Oh gosh. No, no, no. There was definitely no neutrality about it.
Oh.
But, you know, they weren't not supportive, but they were very clear about, I guess they were very clear about the fact that, that it, you know, whether we were like, I love it, I want to do this, what I want to do with my life. They're like, great, get through school, and you have our support. But like, and we'll talk about it when you're 18.
Here's what you have to do to get to that point.
Yeah, just get there, and you know, get through high school, and we'll talk about it when you're heading off to college, and that's that. But you know, I think that. You know, we were all kind of, we know it's like an easy thing to do, but they would constantly remind us, and they're like, this is no piece of cake. Like, you need to really love this to do it. And, you know, I think just me and Bryce kind of, we both got a bug a bit. And then when they, you know, they're incredibly supportive, but they didn't want to, like, you know, champion, you know, at like 5 years old, be like, and take up the family business.
Right. Well, thank goodness for that. I mean, that,
I'm grateful for that.
And
you know,
I just can't imagine if there was a little boy, Howard, who the expectations on that child to act would have been
my brother.
Well, but he didn't act, right?
No.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
Oh, he was going to act.
Oh, he was.
Oh, no, no, no. You're saying if
he was going to act, I think that would have been horrible. Yeah, just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been tough. I think that would have been tough. I mean, even Reed, you know, he's like, there's only so many people like who can rub my head at once while I'm in an elevator, because he has, like, bright red hair. Oh, and they're like, Opie, you know.
Oh,
and he's like this shy little boy when he was so small when he was growing up, the cutest. Anyways, but yeah, that would have been tough for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're all glad that he's, you know, into golf.
So last question on this, and then we'll just set it aside. What is did you either get any very good advice from any of the family members ahead of you in the business, or is the best information and direction you got about making a career like this just from being on sets over the years and seeing it done the way your family has done it?
You know, I think that I'm exceptionally lucky because I have had both of those pools to sort of dip into for advice, and also just to, you know, observe. And it's, you know, I don't think anyone, like, no one can really argue with that. That's an incredible, incredible help. And it's something that, you know, I'm so grateful for. But I do think getting advice, I'm absolutely, you know, if I have a question, or if I'm, I won't hesitate to go get advice from Bryce or from my granddad or from my dad, and Uncle Clinton. They don't hesitate to get. I feel like I'm almost like in like a little family of teachers when it comes to that, because they're very generous with it. Sorry. and they also and they love what they do. So I absolutely get advice from all places, all people, all over. I'm just, you know, swimming in you know, in a bottomless pool of advice.
All right. Well, yeah. Here's one more bit of advice. Buy low, sell high. Go with that.
Oh, all right. Okay. Thank you.
I just suddenly felt like I had to offer some advice because you're surrounded by
No, because I mean, that's it. You've now just jumped in with the rest of my family, my aunts.
Is your puppy there?
He is. Oh my gosh. Riley. Come here, Mama. He's really cute. Here, I'm gonna put this right here.
Okay.
It's like a really cute little munchkin.
Is he? Hey, Riley.
Riley, come here. Come here. He was taking a nap.
Oh. He'll make me pay for this. Oh, look at him. He's a golden doodle, I think you said?
He's a golden doodle.
How old is he? Oh, look at that.
He's like, he is a year. He actually just turned a year. He's like the sweetest little boy.
When he came into the screen, I suddenly felt like I was doing one of those Edward R. Murrow person to persons. You know, it's like, look at him.
He's like smash my legs, smash my legs.
if only he knew how many of us were sharing this moment with him.
I know. Thank God he doesn't. He never will.
Oh my God! And I'm sorry. How old is he?
A year.
Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah. So he's. Oh my God. He is. An absolute terror. He's like a little monster, but he's so cute.
Wait till you see the video of how big his back paws look on screen.
I know.
Oh my God, he's like Sasquatch.
I know, he is.
How funny.
Yeah, he's a good dog. You have dogs as well, right?
I do. I have a yellow lab and a little terrier mix. We call the little guy a jackalope. He used to, when he was younger, he could jump. He could do a 6-foot vertical leap so he could see over the fence and into the yard next door.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
He's got a little character you've got over there.
Little talent, yep, little talent. Ooh. He should probably do... Well, when he was younger, he probably should have done stupid pet tricks or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like he could really pull that off. He's got some back legs on him or something,
Oh,
right?
He does. He's a strong little guy. He's a good dog. Smartest dog I've ever had.
Yeah.
So... All right, so we'll come back around to business here. Let's take a minute and talk about Virgin Alexander. Tell me a little about the movie and your role in it.
The movie is about a boy who, like a young man, who is 26 and he is still a virgin.
No.
yes.
No, that can't. This is fiction, right? Because that never happens.
No, never. So he's given this this house, you know, like the I think the deed to his house by his grandfather, mm-hmm. And he finds, and then his grandfather like just disappears, and he finds out that it is. He owes an incredible amount of money on the house that he's now accountable for it because he signed the paper with his, and so he's kind of like, well, how am I going to go and figure this out? You know, he's a trash man. Mm-hmm. So he kind of, his interest is spiked by, my character and, Liz Masucci and Mika Borum, their characters, were all like good friends and I guess just like you know, prostitutes.
That's the word.
there's really no way to go around that one. So he kind of like starts to follow me, and I think he's very odd. And he has his best friend. It has been brainstorming with him, like, how we're going to take care of this problem. And when he sees me, because I'm like dressed in incredibly tight clothing, he's like, oh my God, they should just have a brothel set up at our house, and then we can like rent it out to them, and we can all just make a ton of money, and then it's taken care of. And so then Rich, Alexander, he's like, oh, I don't know about this. And I want to get out of the, our pimp, Bronson Pinchot, is awful and want to go to school and kind of like get out of this. And so then we agreed to kind of take on this endeavor. It obviously doesn't work out. Things go awry and all these, but then some, really beautiful relationships are formed.
You meant to say Bronson Pimpo, right? Not Pinchot. Sorry.
Did I misspeak that? No. Bronson
Pimpo. And that's why I'm in Florida and you're out in Hollywood. So it's a comedy.
It is. It's a comedy. It's okay. A comedy. It's a romantic comedy.
Got it. All right.
It was so much fun.
And that one, I think, let me find my note here. That one is out June 22nd or July 22nd? I'm trying to...
Oh, I think July 22nd, because today is June 22nd.
Okay, street date, July 17th. Literally, folks, I got this in the mail today. I did not expect to be discussing this, so that part was not well prepared. Now, you've got at least one other movie this year?
Oh, yeah. I did a movie called The Employer with directed by Frank Merle with
he was feeding you the line.
I know. I don't know if he was trying to. I think he might be right, actually. He's like, names, Paige, names. You remember your names. I have a horrible block with names. Directed by Frank Merle with David, I love you. Please, if you see this, don't get mad at me. David Damastrium? I can't. Damastrium? I don't know. I will never say his last name to him, but
good old David D. I remember him well.
Yeah, that's what I call him, David D. David D. Like in my phone, everything. I just won't even attempt it, but I did now. I'm kind of regretting it. and Malcolm McDowell.
Oh.
Just a bunch of really, really incredible, you know, actors, and Frank is outstanding. And that was a really awesome film to do.
Now, comedy or drama?
More of like a psychological thriller. Oh, okay. Line horror film, yeah. And then I'm getting ready to do a film coming up here called Prairie Bones, directed by Connie Stevens. The Connie Stevens.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really exciting. She's awesome.
How did that come about? That's interesting. On so many points.
I think what happened was I went back for like a mix and match.
What is that?
A mix and match, just like you spend like a couple hours for some sort of casting calls. Like, you know, when you go in, they'll pick like couples.
Oh.
You know, like they think these two guys could really work, and they like these two girls, but they also want to see kind of what, you know, it's like a chemistry kind of matching things, see how that works. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to say, is it David and Maddie or is it Joni and Chachi, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's exactly it, though. That's exactly it. Or, you know, for if there's just like one singular, which in this case it was because I didn't get the job, but it was an audition. They need to see, like, do we want this to be played a bit younger, or do we want it to be kind of more like, young adults. Mm. And so I think that was kind of they just use it for all sorts of things like that. So I was with them for like a couple hours in their hair, you know, just hanging out, auditioning. I don't know if they saw the tapes or what happened, but they called me up for a meeting, and then that was it. So I just, it was really amazing.
Can you tell us anything about the role that you?
Yeah, I can. It's Melissa Leo, isn't it? And and Danny Glover as well.
Melissa's been on the show.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, I've never met her, and I'm really excited. I'm excited to meet them both because I have so much respect for. Well, everyone who's working this film is unbelievable. It's about a young couple a young couple who fall in love sort of like the aftermath of the Civil War and the Underground Railroad and things like that. Mm-hmm. And to get people up, you know, up north, they sort of, even after the war, they serve as like or the person that's my, you know, my love interest, his mother, Melissa Leo, and him kind of just sort of spearhead this underground railroad like thing that was very much a real thing. Huh. And for money though, get people from the South to the North. And then I kind of become part of the family and we fall in love and we get married. And then there are just a lot of trials and triumphs and things that, and just, some just major challenges that were very much so, very much so part of like, there's a series of things that go on. But it's kind of just about them getting through it together and it's a love story. So,
just to put this in perspective for people who may not see this within a couple of days, we're talking on the day that, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter opens in theaters. You're talking about doing the Civil War movie. Are there any vampires in this movie? Will we see any blood sucking? Because, it's the big thing now, so it's got to be in every movie.
I don't think that's in the script as of yet. Okay. I can't, think of any particular place where that would fit in. But, vampires, they are the hot thing.
Well, if they could connect vampires and Abraham Lincoln, I figure
it's a perfect world.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty much every story.
That's it, blockbuster to the max.
Well, listen, it's been wonderful to get to know you today, and I feel like we have gotten to know you because we've spent so much time.
Thank you so much.
We got to see your dog, and I will tell you that I'm going to guess at some point we saw your boyfriend behind you.
The mirror.
Then he was in front of you, but behind you. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't know it was a mirror. I just thought it was a doorway.
Oh my gosh, he was like, oh no.
It's fine. It's fine. I want to tell everybody that you can find, you can download Cheesecake Casserole starring the very lovely Paige Howard. It's on Video On Demand, VOD, or iTunes, or you can get it here at MrMedia.com, all on July 3rd. You can download it from any of those places. Can people find you? Do you have a website, a Twitter, Facebook, any of that kind of stuff?
I'm on Twitter, just Paige Howard. And then I'm on Facebook. I'm not great at the whole Facebook thing. I mean, I'm not really great at the Twitter, but I am probably more on Twitter than I am on Facebook, so.
Okay. All right. So people can find you if they want to.
Find me.
You're all right.
The more the merrier.
All right. Well, Paige, it's been a delight having you here today.
Thank you so much.
Had a really good time. Well, you're welcome. And thanks for putting up with all the silly questions along with the serious questions. And most of all, just thank you for being on Mr. Media.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
I don't know.
You're good. You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, the TechCrunch headlines, and the Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Samira Armstrong, and you're listening to Mr. Media.